Good morning. It's a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Trump can't stop officials from testifying. A ruling by a judge. Presidents are not kings, the judge said, ruling that former White House counsel Donald McGahn must appear before impeachment investigators.
It was a hell of a decision, despite the fact that it may well be overturned, as we know, by the Supreme Court, which has a majority of pro-Trumpers on it. It was a decision which everybody should read. The idea that this guy is not a king, that he has to obey the law, that nobody is above the law, it all got laid out, and it got laid out hard. So it was a good thing that it happened, and it will make it harder for the Supreme Court to do what we all know they're going to do, vote for the guy who brung him. So while they're not all Trump appointees, there are the Clarence Thomases and the others who are just going to do whatever they're supposed to do in order to protect this president. So all of these rulings in the lower courts, while impressive and important, don't mean a thing until the high court talks about it. And we have a very good example of that right now. The court blocking a decision on whether or not he has to produce his financial records is incredibly important because it sets the tone for what they're going to do on virtually everything else. But either these financial records are a distraction that Trump is using to get everybody's mind off of everything else that he's doing, or there may be something in there, some piece of poison that will be so disclosive that he has to fight like hell to make sure it doesn't get out. And to me, it's extraordinary that it hasn't gotten out yet, one way or the other.
Well, in Bleak Report, UN says drastic action is the only way to avoid worst effects of climate change. The report warns that the world has squandered so much time mustering the action necessary to combat climate change that global temperatures are on pace to rise as much as 3.9 degrees Celsius. That's 7 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century.
And what part of this don't we know? And didn't we know? I mean, it's nice that a prestigious group comes out and says something, but we've known it. We are ostrich-like. Our heads are in the sand. We've said it on this program again and again and again. We know what's coming, and I keep getting back to Superman and Jor-El, you know, his father putting him on that rocket. Of course, this whole thing is a comic book, but we're facing the same kind of thing. He was the only one who knew it was coming. In this case, we all know it's coming, and yet we have a president who's a climate denier and who brings people in who are going to make things worse with coal and everything else. These are our children we're talking about. These are our grandchildren we're talking about. And yet we have a president of the United States who just won't get off the dime. Worse, he goes the other way.
Another story of men imprisoned for crimes they didn't commit. They spent 36 years behind bars for murder. Someone else did it, prosecutors now say. Alfred Chestnut and co-defendants Ransom Watkins and Andrew Stewart were formally exonerated for the notorious 1983 murder of a junior high school student over a Georgetown basketball jacket.
You know, David, there are many people who think if somebody kills another person, they deserve to die. That is something that people believe. It's a historic argument that's been going on for years. But the one thing that puts a stop to that is the idea that people are put into jail because of racism or because of other things. And then 30 years later, 40 years later, we let them out and say, well, it looks like because of advance in science and everything else, they didn't do it. So it is the most powerful argument against the death penalty that we have. And you know, David, what happens is when they're let out, they get compensated with millions of dollars. You think those millions of dollars begin to justify 40 years in jail or 30 years in jail?
Well, the Working Families Party, the progressive organization, has been at odds with Governor Andrew Cuomo for more than a decade, is facing its biggest threat to its existence yet. We've been talking about this again and again, Alan. The commission, this is the Public Campaign Finance Commission set up in New York, on Monday approved a proposal that would eliminate the 50,000 vote threshold in a gubernatorial election for minor parties to achieve a ballot line. In its place would be a new stipulation requiring parties to achieve 2% of the total vote, or 130,000 votes, every 2 years. Whichever is higher, they're going through with it.
They are. This is Jay Jacobs, one of Cuomo's real good friends, who is the head of that commission, no surprise. They've advanced that they were going to do this. Cuomo was opposed by the Working Families Party in a primary. A lot of people think that what's going on here is get-even mode. It is something that will contribute to the feeling that some people have, that he's not a nice man, that he takes no prisoners, and that democracy is paying the price. So when the commission comes out with with this ruling, and they are going after the Working Families Party. It will either work, and the Working Family Party will have to collect signatures rather than be on the ballot automatically, or what will happen is an awful lot of people, and if I were a New York State voter, I would be one of them, will be so angry that they will vote on the Working Family line because they know exactly what's going on here. Put another way, this is just not nice.
Will the legislature come back and change it? They're threatening to. At least a number of legislators wrote a letter to that effect, and we saw the head of the GOP, Nick Langworthy, yesterday railing about this. Get them back in Albany to stop this.
Well, he, of course, should rail about it. There is just one thing here. If the speaker is on board, they'll come back. Both houses, in the end, they're supposed to be democratic in terms of decision-making. But if the people who are leading them are not willing to contest with the governor, there is going to be no coming back. So one really has to wonder, for example, where Speaker Hastie is on all of this. We know that there's articulations all over the place by people who think that this is a terrible decision. And not least of these is Senator Chuck Schumer, who made big headlines by saying that he was against doing this kind of stuff. But that didn't mean anything because his buddy up there, Jay Jacobs, is doing the damage for him.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us as always. We thank you.
And we thank you, David.